Welcome back to another great evening with Entertainment Banter. My name is Joel.
And I'm Matt.
That's lovely. Your name is Matt. It's great. Matt, what did you want to talk about today? I feel like it was something we have never hit on upon.
Well, I don't think we have, but if
never,
I
don't know, maybe.
I don't remember.
Could have been episode two.
Yeah, maybe episode two.
Who cares?
Or periodically throughout other ramblings of bantering that we tend to do. But one of the things that I've been doing a lot of movie nights. Every Friday night, I've been watching just old school movies.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
You're doing movie nights Friday nights when you don't really do anything during the week?
You know what? I do things that you don't know about. Behind-the-scenes entertainment stuff.
No,
it's exciting times that we live in.
Absolutely anyways, don't believe him.
I've made it a conscious effort to go back and really watch movies, as they intended. You know, I shut the lights off, I blast the sound. You know, watch it on the biggest screen I've got. And it's good. It's fun to watch them. But anyways, the one thing I thought of was... Movies are great, plots are always good, characters that are well developed, as we've talked time and time again about, let's say, Marvel than anything else.
Really? You had to bring it up already.
I had to bring it up.
Not even a minute in.
But one of the major characters that I think is completely underplayed by the average audience goer is the score, the musical score, the music score that goes along with the movie, and it can make or break it. And I started thinking about it because I've watched documentaries of how movies are made in the past and stuff. And sorry folks, I mean, I grew up watching it, but Star Wars, like, they came out during a time where they were playing some really funky modern era music for all their films, like Steve McQueen and all that stuff. They played like their 70s, you know, like 60s, like Shaft. Woo! Yeah, you know, they played that. They played whatever was popular at the time in the feature. And for a moment, there was some consideration for Star Wars that they were going to do the score like that. And I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad that John Williams and George Lucas both agreed that they wanted a timeless, so to speak, score. Because I think that would have completely changed the outcome of Star Wars. I think what people liked about Star Wars, whether they knew it or not, was John Williams' score. And if you had something like funk from, you know, like Shaft or anything else playing while Luke's wielding a lightsaber, maybe it'd be hip today, but it wouldn't last forever.
It wouldn't be hip today. Come on.
But it got me thinking, like, okay, everybody knows what certain scores or themes sound like. You know, you got Indiana Jones. A lot of it's going to be John Williams, you know, at least people that grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. But, Jaws was John Williams too, wasn't it?
The Dark Knight, you know, people can hear that deep bass sounding, like, you know, like they had that, like, kind of sound. So, Jaws, obviously, you know, everyone's got a theme. You know, even, like, you know, the NFL has their theme. Dun, 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 you know, like all that. News,
CNN. Yeah.
You know, which John Williams wrote some of the scores for those too. So I just got thinking, like, the score plays a huge part in the movies that we watch, and it can make or break it. And I was just going to ask you, like, are there any movies that stand out in your mind that you liked maybe because of the score, or you didn't like because the score was so crappy, or there was no score? Like, is there any movie that stands out when you think of music?
Of course, John Williams stands out. I'm a huge fan of Hans Zimmer. Not because of Pirates, even though he did Pirates very well, and he's a very horn-heavy kind of guy, and I think
he said a lot.
He's horn-heavy. I think Williams is more of a string. Nah, he's not string-heavy. Is he string-heavy?
It depends on he's what I like about Williams is he's a character theme-based composer. So for example, every character has a theme. So, and he will mix, it's kind of like Peter and the Wolf, he'll kind of like mix the themes together, if that makes any sense. If Leia's in the scene, or if Luke's in the scene.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was kind of stringy. But I really enjoyed, like, Hans Zimmer, like, he did a lot of stuff, but his more recent stuff I've been liking a lot, like, in,
Samurai?
He what?
Did Did he do Last Samurai? I feel like he...
Not sure.
I get my composers mixed up. Because we... I know James Horner...
But he did Inception. I liked Inception a lot.
Yeah. One score that I really do appreciate is... I think... Is it Goldsmith? I can't remember... It might be Jerry Goldsmith, or I can't remember his name, Jerry or not, but it was the Rudy soundtrack. That's actually a really beautiful score.
The Rudy
that
one?
Sounds really, yeah.
Who did it?
I want to see, I think it's Goldsmith. I can't remember his first name. I think it's Jerry Goldsmith or something like that. But it's really well done. Then there's Hans Zimmer has done a lot too. I want to say he did The Last Samurai. I thought that was a beautiful score. Gladiator, I think he did. James Horner did more like, I wouldn't say sappier sounding scores, but he did I think he did Titanic, he did The Land Before Time. He's done some simpler.
Land Before Time.
Yeah, don't knock it. Listen, you were a kid once. And that's
I like Land Before Time.
If you don't cry when his mama dies, there's something wrong with you. Because that again, that's a tribute to James Horner, in my opinion. James Horner, did he do
James Horner?
Field of Dreams?
James Horner did do Titanic.
Yeah, and Field of Dreams, I think, too.
Field of Dreams.
Yes, no?
I don't know. It's not listed yet. He did do Star Trek.
Yeah, he's done some of those, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of the old movies, not the new movies.
He's done a lot of movies. He's done a lot of great scores. Yeah, so James
He did Jumanji, Casper, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, Braveheart, Apollo 13.
That's right, Braveheart, Apollo 13. Those are great scores that he's done. That's right.
Field of Dreams, son, that's what you're thinking?
Yeah, yep, Field of Dreams.
No, I don't see it on here. I just said that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Wasn't Field of Dreams with Robin Williams?
No, that's Kevin Costner. Field of Dreams is Kevin Costner.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
I have no idea. Jumanji?
He did Field of Dreams. He did.
Yeah, so he does more I wouldn't say a sappy score, but it's definitely more of lack of a better term, heart-wrenching kind of scores. That's what James Horner, I feel, is known for. I think Hans Zimmer definitely does a lot of...
Suspenseful.
Slow-rolling epic. I don't know how... it always builds, but never crescendos. You know?
You think... I think the score makes the movie. I think there's a reason why we have a category in the Academy Awards for it. It definitely can make the movie, make or break it. You have a good score. I find it interesting, too, that we still use it's almost an archaic form of presenting music still, because they've been doing orchestras like this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Long time. So, it's interesting, too, to see all these composers out, and they definitely get inspirations from older composers that are no longer around. And I'm glad that these are really strong in movies, too, just because it's almost it's a classical feel to these movies. And kids these days, even kids when I was younger, didn't get exposed to a lot of that. And then when you start hearing, oh, wow, that's Mozart or Beethoven, or, you know, that's some influence from those people, or even, other whatever Russian name here.
Tchaikovsky?
Yeah. And, So it's a huge influence on it, and they're very prominent in these movies, and you definitely can hear it. Hans Zimmer gets inspirations, and John Williams, and it's just it's amazing, and I'm glad that it happens, just because it's almost a dying art, interesting to go see movies with it. Even video games have it, and it's just very. It's very interesting, and I love it. And you can go and enjoy these orchestras and
that's
have modern on modern music.
That's a great point, because some of the soundtracks I've actually purchased are from video games and from TV shows. Believe it or not, cartoon television shows. And they are amazing. And you can tell, like, certain composers tend to... It's funny how you mentioned, you know, the great classical people, because in a weird sort of way, the modern score that's being composed kind of piggybacks off of the people we were talking about, Horner, Williams, all those guys. They're starting, that was their influence. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it's kind of coming through a little bit on these newer, younger guys. It was short-lived, it was a short-lived show, but the Thundercats show that came out in the...
what? Early,
yes, shut up and listen to me. There's a Thundercats cartoon show that came out. Before you laugh, you go and you listen to that score. It is amazing. Yes, it is. It's a great score, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name right now. I don't think it's Klein or Kleiner. I think that's the guy that does Clone Wars stuff, but look it up. It's an amazing score. Thundercats from the 2010 era. And then there's another score that was really well done. That was one of the first video game scores, and I think it might have been one of the first video game scores that was sold in the United States, and that's Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. And that score is really good, too. So that's two scores, one from a TV show, one from video games, that is actually really well done. I'm just saying, you can mock me all you want, but it's some good music.
I'm just glad they take that extra, you know, that final touch, that nice, like, that more small details that people probably don't realize, that they're getting, like, 35, 50, 60, even 100-piece orchestras
yes.
to do this.
Yes!
And I'm glad they do, because it adds that extra feel to it. A lot of these movies, you get the feels, you know, you get the fancy feels, you know, during the movie, and it's because of the orchestra. It's all the, you know, right. They put so much passion into it.
Well, is there any movie that's come out recently that got personal for you, like, meaning, like, you actually got emotional based on something like the score? Like, was there
recently, I've only seen Marvel movies. I've only seen Marvel movies recently.
Really?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a movie I haven't seen that's not Marvel. I mean, I watched Fate of the Furious the other night, and that was just a throwaway movie.
Right.
I don't even think that's there was a score. It was just, I mean, would you consider a score just like a soundtrack? Like, it was a soundtrack. They were playing...
Yeah.
There must have been a score, but yeah. I don't know.
Well, then let me ask you this. What's the last score that you remember, or is there a scene in a movie that you really like and is mostly because of the score?
Woof. That's a loaded question, because Inception's the only one that comes to my mind right now, because I just talked about it, of course. So, I mean, it may not be the most freshest one, but... It made you feel, you know, like when that train was coming down in that dream, and it was like, boom, you know, the horn. I mean, it was just, it was awesome. Or even watching World War Z, like, you know, when just watching the trailer and having them, like, go over the city and you see the zombies, or not really zombies, but the infected there, and it, you know, plays this, like, menacing song or this low beat to sound, and you're just like, you know, You're bringing in the gravitational of the situation.
Yeah, that goes back to that Hans Zimmer type of theme where like it always builds and builds, but somehow it never crescendos. It's just a constant playing of tensions.
No, I think there's a peak. There's a climax in Hans Zimmer.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean,
like in Batman Begins, like what would be like. Can you hum me the climax? You know what I mean?
I haven't watched Batman Begins in a long time. I wouldn't be able to. I won't be able to climax for you anyway right now.
Yeah.
So.
I guess that would be for later.
Oh, we're in Champ Harold.
Keep it together.
There are just plenty of moments that it builds on. It's great.
Like Jaws. You hear da da.
But it's great to hear those too, and like you know that those are very distinguished pieces that you know they're from. I mean, I doubt people know exactly who composed them. I mean, I think Jaws was also John Williams.
Yeah, it was. John Williams pretty much wrote the majority of the 80s when it came to movies. Him, Spielberg, and Lucas. It's just like anything that people grew up watching, that's what he did.
And Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, but he didn't compose music, but he did Willow. He directed Willow with George Lucas. And I think that was a James Horner piece. And that's really good music. Hmm. Another person that doesn't get much credit is James Newton Howard. He does some good work.
You know a lot of composers. See, that's the thing. I don't know that many composers, and I'm kind of ignorant on that. But I do appreciate a lot of them. One of my audio engineers I was working with used to, as sound checks, you know, some of them used some shitty ass music here and there, but he always did music scores, and it was always cool to listen to in a theater, like hearing everything, like you feel it. I mean, it's not as good as the real thing, but it's still.
It's nice. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's funny you were talking about all the different composers and how it all comes into play. For me, when I watch a movie, I'm very in tune to the music, and a lot of times, if I'm watching the movie and I start to feel any kind of emotion, the first thing I do is I immediately start, and that's kind of weird, but I immediately start paying more attention to the score, and then as a result of that, I will, if I like it enough, I'll go get the score, like, the next day or right away.
Nerd.
I don't want to forget whatever that music was, I don't want to forget how it made me feel in that moment. Like, whether it felt like, oh, I want to go work out for 10 days straight, or I'm going to go sit and cry in my room for 10 days, or whatever the case may be. It's whatever that score brought to me, if it's good enough, I'll probably go buy it. Like, for example, the most recent score I did purchase was the Wonder Woman score from the movie, because that actually has some really good pieces in it.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
Well, it's actually surprisingly better than most of the stuff that they're doing. But the funny thing about it is the one part of the score I despise is actually her quote-unquote generic theme of that whiny guitar riff. Like, they play it every time she's like shows up, and like the wind is blowing in her hair. Like,
it's her theme. Sudden, it's her, like, theme music. What do you want from her?
It's a terrible, terrible theme for her. Absolutely awful. But thank God, the majority of her film, the score was beautiful. It was really well done. So, anyways, they had to throw that stupid theme in for one part, and it ruined it for me. It actually, that's an example of score ruining something for me. It was really so perfect. Yeah, because all the score leading up to it was beautiful, and I feel like they were compelled, to put that stupid theme in, because that's the only way they can bridge her movie score with the rest of the crap scores that are in The Dark Knight, or Dawn of Justice, or, you know, Suicide Squad, or whatever the fuck movie she's, you know, in, a part of their version of the, you know, the DC universe. They had to throw it in, but I think it ruined it and took me out of the moment.
I'm gonna need you to stop complimenting DC movies right now.
Listen, I want them to be good. Okay, I want them to be good. I like a lot of the DC characters. I just feel that DC wanted to be so far away from Marvel in the theatrical environment that they just went weird. They just went too extreme. But this is getting away from our music score stuff, so I don't want to get too far in. All I'm saying is, her score was awesome. There are moments in Dawn of Justice where the score is awesome. When the Man of Steel, you saw Man of Steel, right? Like, the score where...
Was that Man of Steel when Zod or whatever helped destroy half of whatever?
But like, to me, yeah, but the scene where his father gets eaten up in the twister, you know, like, there's moments the scores are really right on, you know? If they threw their crappy guitar riff in that moment or anything else, it would just be way too stupid, you know what I mean? So, sure. I don't know, it's just... Has there been a movie where you've watched it and you were taken out of it because of the score?
Can't say for certain, because there's a lot of shitty movies out there, and I don't know if it's the music or it's just all low budge. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, I find that there are professionals out there and they make really good choices.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. It's hard to judge.
It makes you think as a director too, like, I mean, besides a good script, and even if you don't have the best cast, I really feel like that composer has to be right there with you.
There's got to be a lot of collaboration. There has to be. I mean, of course there is. Not just there has to be. There is. I mean, that's how you make a great movie. Everyone's collaborating and working together to get the, you know, the idea of what the director sees in his head out in life.
Right.
I'm glad you're saying that people are, that you like to, you've listened to music and you want to, like, remember what you felt when you heard it the first time, like, either whether it made you want to, you know, inspire you to better yourself or not inspire you, but then make you sad, and, like, you still want to listen to it. And I think that's great to talk about that just because it makes you human.
Right.
It makes you human, you want to feel that. And I actually enjoy a lot of movies that makes me almost want to cry, if you will.
Yeah.
Just because that feeling is such an amazing feeling, just to know that you're alive yourself, you're a human being, you feel like you're living this moment, and it's just so, like, you get the goosebumps, you get the whole, like, hair back, your neck standing on end. It's just it's like a crazy experience and a feeling, like, it almost makes you want to experience this more, and it's almost like adrenaline coming through you, and it's just an awesome feeling.
I think it's interesting because you know how, like, athletes will listen to whatever, mostly, I'm guessing, hard rock or whatever, based on their, you know, they're going to be in a competitive match or something, they want to get pumped up, so they listen to their favorite rock music or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It does stir that emotion up in you. For me, the reason why I brought up Rudy is I feel like, I don't know if it's just good writing, good director, good story, all of the above. Mm-hmm. The scores, to me, is just one of the best scores ever written.
Rudy, a football movie?
Rugby? It is a football movie, yes, but that's not what it's really about.
It's a lot of football movies out there.
Yeah, but this movie is not about football.
It's ain't about no mountain high and low.
It's about chasing your dreams, Joel. It's about chasing your dreams.
Chasing your dreams.
Working hard and...
I recommend all our dreamers out there listening to this right now to chase your dreams. Oh, never give up.
Adversity.
You can have a podcast of your own too one day. You just got to work hard at it.
Somebody's got to be able to stomach listening to you as well.
Do they? I mean, you can just keep making podcasts. I mean, don't give a shit. This is your dream.
You know what? That's right. You know, as long as we keep getting that advertisement money, I don't care.
I'm gonna dream bigger next time.
That's not why we're doing this.
We don't have advertisers. We're not making money on this.
Oh, no.
We're rich in fans right now.
We're actually sitting in our hot tub right now. Drinking.
Don't. Shut up. No, we're not. I hate you. I want a hot tub.
But, no, it's true. But I'm... really important. So, anyways, that's it. I just thought it was an interesting subject to bring up. Because I don't know... the average moviegoer these days picks up on it.
So I want to... you feel like you're coming to an end. So I want to ask you a question. I don't want a final thought on this because I think I've said what I needed to say. But I'm going to ask you something. So, back in the olden times,
how far back are we going?
I don't know. 1,000 years? I don't know. When was Mozart on this earth? When was Beethoven on this earth?
Yeah, okay. All right.
So probably wasn't 1,000 years ago. Was it 1,000 years ago? No, it was probably like a few hundred.
No.
Few hundred.
Yeah. So, okay, so what's your question?
They used to compose, and they used to produce music, and they used to put concerts on, and it was magnificent. It was amazing. People would go
they
out and
stories.
See them. They were stories, almost like an opera. They would tell a story. So now we have that equivalent now is from that we evolved into movies.
Yes.
Because now if you go and see a Mozart, you hear Beethoven play, it's just repeating what they did back in the day. And it's still magical, it's still beautiful. But now, do you think... so that technically transferred to now all the new original content is now in movies. Do you think in the future, do you think people will look back at John Williams and like Hans Zimmer as people... that
innovators
that were just like Mozart and Beethoven. Would you think that that's what, you know, not only did they take inspiration probably from them and many others that I'm not naming right now because they probably have very hard Russian and Polish last names that I can't pronounce.
Well, these guys are only a couple hundred years ago. And
we true. Still listen- and a few of them are probably still alive that they take inspiration from, to be honest.
Yeah.
Or just passed.
Yeah, we listen to them. So, even now. So, I don't think good music will ever die. I think that's a great question because, to me, it's a bigger question because it can go back to, like, you know, people question the Bible if it's real or not because it was written so long ago and it was written by so many people. I mean, you go back to, you know, a little over sixteen years ago now, September 11th happened.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, months afterwards, everyone was throwing out these bullshit conspiracy theories. So people don't believe that even happened the way it happened. So it's hard to say because people
inside
are just,
job people.
Yeah, people are just surrounded by dumb people. And so dumb people are going to try to ruin what it was and make fact, folklore, and myth, and whatever the case may be. You know, the real question is, are they going to believe Mozart existed? Let alone John Williams.
Well, do you think people lost a little respect for it because now it's just for movies?
No, I don't think so. I think because of movies, we're lucky to have it. I mean, I guess in a way, movies are the gateway that keep it going. Here's a perfect example. Here's a final thought. I don't expect you to answer it, but this is how I'll end it. Is name me a composer that hasn't composed a feature film. Just name a composer that's composed something and has played in a symphony. I don't know one. Do you? Like a modern day Mozart. He doesn't do soundtracks. He just composes music. Or she.
No, I think they do movies.
Yeah, they only do movies. They do musicals.
They don't. That's
on Broadway.
That's their. That's what they go into. That's what you do.
But there's
because
some
that's...
people out there that might do that. But I don't even know. Do they have a venue to show that kind of work? Is there like, you know, like we have? What is it? I'm so tired right now. They have indie films and indie film channels. Where the hell are the indie radio stations for new and upcoming composers that don't want to do soundtracks or don't want to do musicals?
Do they exist? If they do, let's come out. If you're listening to this, come on out.
Yeah, come on out. Let us know what you're doing, where you are, and how we can listen to you.
I don't know if
that's
I'll listen to you.
That would be
I'm not into
to
it.
Find out.
Maybe.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Well, it's an interesting thought. Let's leave it on that. This concludes our transmission.
Entertainment banter.
Yeah. Hey, you know it. My name's Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And I'm done.